Thank you. Good evening. It's good to be with you again tonight and to look at God's Word. And tonight, I think I had a handout that was passed out to you, and as you can see from that handout, we're going to be looking at very briefly at three parables tonight. People were looking like they didn't. Okay. You are about to get a handout for tonight. We're going to be speaking about servanthood tonight. Great. Thank you very much. You know, it's amazing to me as I've studied the parables of the Lord, how he could take in just a few simple words, he could give a parable to illustrate the most profound things in all of life. I mean, who of us could take and within just maybe 100 words give some information out that would transcend all of time and that people would be looking at thousands of years later trying to figure out all the details of it and to be blessed by it? Well, tonight we're going to look at three parables, and I think they are three of the most profound parables when we look at the subject of being a servant. We sang tonight, "Make me a servant. Make me a blessing, Lord, to someone today." And the Lord, in the last week of his life here on earth, gave these three great parables. And in these three great parables, he was preparing the disciples, and I think preparing us, for what was to come, and so we could be prepared as we serve him, as we seek to go out and to be a blessing for him. And so let's look at these three parables, and we'll look at them. We'll just skim the surface. We won't have time to look at them in depth, but I think you'll get the point of each one of these parables. And you'll see that in our life, the Lord Jesus deals with, in my opinion, the most important aspects of being a servant. You know, I am a type of person who has to have a checklist. I like to have a checklist, and I can really get more done during the daytime if I've got a list to keep in my mind what I need to do. Well, we're going to see as we look at these parables here, the Lord doesn't deal with checklists. He deals with different aspects of our life. And we'll see each one of these parables deals with a unique aspect of being a servant. So let's just look at that and keep in mind. And I think in interpreting these three parables, it's important to note when they were given and what the circumstances were. For example, the first parable that we're going to look at, the parable of the pounds, it was given probably within the last week of the Lord's life. We read in John 9 that he arrived in Bethany 6 days before the Passover. And if we were to take Luke's gospel and trace him coming to Jerusalem, the last place he's recorded as being at is in Jericho. And you recall that it was there and shortly after there that he is headed toward Jerusalem and he sees this man Zacchaeus up in a tree. And, of course, you remember the story. He told Zacchaeus to come down, that he was going to his house that day. And if we had time to look at the context of all these, you'd see that this probably took place at Zacchaeus' house. And the people thought that as the Lord Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, when he arrived there, he was going to present himself as a political Messiah, and he would start reigning, and that they would be free from the Roman oppression. So they were looking for a political Messiah, and let's look at what they thought. They thought that when he arrived in Jerusalem, the kingdom was going to come. Look at what he says in verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said therefore, and he's giving them an illustration, no, when I get to Jerusalem, that's not what's going to happen. The kingdom is not going to come when I arrive there in just a few days. This is what's really going to happen. And let's read the story. And we see as we read this story, there's two groups. There's 10 servants, and there are citizens of this kingdom that he talks about. Let's read it. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, and here's the key to unlocking the parable, occupy till I come. But his citizens, and this is the other group, his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, is that exactly what happened when he arrived in Jerusalem? The people said, we will not have this man to rule over us. He will not reign over us. But he was preparing those disciples and us as servants to be serving as he's away preparing this kingdom. Now, look at what happens. Verse 15. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to know whom he had given the money, that they might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, if we go back up and we look, he had 10 pounds, he had 10 servants, and he gave each one an equal amount of currency to conduct business for him while he was gone. Now we see here that the Lord was the real equal opportunity employer. Now, he goes, and in this story, he receives a kingdom. And he comes back, and he calls these 10 servants to account for their service while they are gone. Did they occupy while he was away? And he selects 3 servants to illustrate to us the picture of what he's wanting to say. Now look in verse 16 at what happens. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath made 10 pounds. Now if you'll notice these 3 servants, each one of them says, Lord, it's thy pound. When we get to the next parable, we'll see that the servants say, Lord, I worked with what you gave me. And so when we look at these parables here, we remember that everything that the Lord gives, it's from him to us. So there's no need in any of his servants to be proud of what they have received. Now, if anyone had a reason to be proud, it would be this first servant. Look at what happens to him in verse 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath made 10 pounds. He had what kind of return on investment? If you are a banker, you know that a 1 in 10, that's 1,000% return on your investment. And that is a really good return. This man went out, and he was occupying, he was busy buying up, as it were, every opportunity to serve the Lord that he could find. And as a result, he had a really good return on the investment that the Lord had given to him. Now, look at the Lord's response to that. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. Because he occupied, because he used the opportunities that came along, he was graciously rewarded for the service that he had provided. Now look at the story, and we're going to see some significant differences in these parables. The second comes, and he says, well, Lord, I took your pound, and I've made 5 pounds. Well, that's a pretty good investment, isn't it? 500%. Then we look at the third man. He comes, and he has not done anything with what the Lord had given to him. Now, I think it's interesting as we look at these first two servants, they receive the same verbal reward or praise from the Lord. Listen to what he says in verse 17. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second servant in verse 19, he said likewise to him. He said the same thing to this man. Well done, good servant. You have been faithful. And as a result of your faithfulness in using the opportunities that came to you, you have a reward. And you notice the reward was based on the amount of effort that they put in to the project. The guy who worked the hardest and really used the opportunities, he had a great return. Now, if we look at the third servant in verse 20, listen to what he said. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now, he didn't do anything with what the Lord had given him. He had received 1 pound just like all of these other servants, but he didn't use it. He said he took it and he laid it up in a napkin. Now, when we look at the next parable, we're going to see a servant who does almost the same thing. But he says, I took it and I buried it. He probably wrapped it in a napkin and buried it, and probably both of them did the same thing. And so when the Lord returns, what does this man have to show for his efforts for the Lord? He has nothing. He has nothing to show except, probably like the next parable we'll read, the only thing he had to show was a hole in the ground where he had dug and buried the talent or the pound that the Lord had given him. But it's interesting, I think, that when we look at this, and I want us to save the Lord's, his response or his excuse for not using what the Lord had given him to the next end of the next parable. Because we're going to see it's almost identical, and we'll deal with it when we look at that. But look at what happens because he didn't use what the Lord had given to him. We look at verse 24, what did the Lord do? The Lord took the pound from him and gave it to the man who had gained 10 pounds. And listen to verse 26, and we see the same thing in both of these first parables. That unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. Now, what's the Lord saying there? He's saying that he gave these 10 servants, he gave them equal opportunities, didn't he? He gave all of them opportunities to be used and to take that pound of currency, whatever it was, and to be busy about his business, making wise investments for him. And, you know, if you think about it and apply that to us, in Scripture, we should always make an application to it, shouldn't we? And we would ask ourselves, do we use the opportunities that the Lord has given to us? You know, we all have been given equal opportunities, haven't we? We all have 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We have been all given the same Scriptures to work with. We all have families, we have connections where we work. Wherever God has placed us, we have opportunities to serve Him. And so you can't say, well now, this brother here has more opportunities than I do to serve the Lord. And we'll find later on that that was the excuse of the third fellow. He really blamed the Lord because he didn't do anything with what the Lord had given him. But let me just make one more comment about this parable, and we'll go on to the next one. If we don't use the opportunities that the Lord gives to us, what happens? I think he'll give them to someone who will use them. And you know, many times we look at that and we say, well, he gets all the opportunities. Well, I've heard it said one time that, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And there's a little bit of truth to that, isn't it? The harder you work, the more we use the opportunities the Lord gives us, what does he do? In turn, he turns around and gives us more. And so the point being made here is, do we use the opportunities that the Lord has given us to serve him? He doesn't give a checklist, does he? He's saying, look at your opportunities. Now, there was another group of people that I said that was mentioned in this parable, and that was the citizens of this country. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Well, what happened to them? When he comes back and he rewards his servants for faithful service, look at what happens in verse 27. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. You see, we are all, there's a choice to be made, isn't it? We're either going to be servants of the Lord, and if we refuse to come into his kingdom as a servant, in a coming day, there will be judgment for that. But faithful service to the Lord, there will be reward. And you notice in this parable, these individuals were rewarded based on their usage of the opportunities that the Lord gave them. Now look at the second parable. This is really interesting. The second parable is given almost at the same time. If you go to Matthew's account, it's just a few days later, you see that this parable was given, the parable of the talents was given at the conclusion of the Olivet Discourse. The Lord had just been giving different parables and different expressions of preparedness for his coming. He had just finished giving the parable of the 10 virgins. And of course, you know that speaks to us of being ready, being watching, and being looking for the Lord. But the Lord gives this parable here to say that not only should you be ready, and not only should you be looking for my return, but you should be working. You should be like Nehemiah. You remember when they were rebuilding the wall, they had a sword in one hand, they were looking, and they had a trowel in the other hand, and they were laying rock, and they were working. And I think that's the picture that we see here. Let's look at this real quickly. Verse 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now notice the difference. In the parable that we just looked at of the pounds, they all received the same amount. But in this parable, it's going to be varying amounts. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1. Here's the key that unlocks the parable. To every man according to his several abilities. And straightway he took his journey. The Lord distributes these talents here, and he distributes them based upon ability. Now look at what happens. This is so fantastic when we look at what the Lord does. Verse 16. Then the one that received 5 went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. Okay? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Now, if you are given five and you make five, what percentage of return is that? 100%. If I give you two and you make two, what percent of return is that? It's 100%. It's the same, isn't it? Now, here's what happens. Now, look at what happens. But again, there's a third servant. We see in verse 18, he went and dug a hole and put the talent in it. He didn't use it at all. And look at what happened. Now, verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. That's an accounting term. He wanted to see how well they had done. Now, look at the results. This is incredible. And he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents, and behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Look at the reward. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord, now look at, it's the exact same wording. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Do you see the difference? Here, who determines our abilities? And that's the key, right? He gave these talents to individuals based on their ability to handle what he had given them. And we know that's true within the church, don't we? The Lord has given varying abilities to all of us. And we don't all have the same ability. You know, it's interesting, Mr. Willard, many of you know him, Jeff Willard's dad, tremendous brother. I really love him. He's such a humble, meek man. You just can't help but love him. His wife went to be with the Lord just a few months ago. She was killed tragically in an accident, and I remember we went down to visit, and after the funeral, we embraced and shared some tears together. But Mr. Willard said, you know, my wife, she was not talented like, you know, some of these other guys who can preach the word and do all these great things. She was just a servant. And I had to correct him. I said, just a servant. You know, that's what we see right here, isn't it? She lived up to her ability. And guess what? In a coming day, she will get the same reward as those who appear to have these great abilities. Do you see what the Lord is doing? What he's saying? He's saying, I gifted you for service in whatever sphere I put you in. I placed you in this family. I placed you in this local church. Now, if you'll live up to your ability, whatever that is that I have given you, you will receive the same reward as this person who may have be viewed by most people as having extreme abilities and talents. Isn't that tremendous? The Lord equalizes it all. And so the question is, do we use the opportunities? Do we live up to our abilities? You know, to the ones who's been given a lot, the Lord says a lot is going to be expected out of them. There's going to be more expected from them. But you know, Miss Willard, who served, and she beautifully pictured those widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, how she served. Well, she's going to get the same reward as she lived up to her abilities as perhaps one day Billy Graham, who has led thousands of people to the Lord. You see, the Lord is going to, He's the only one that can look in our hearts. He's the only one that could know whether we use the opportunities that was given to us. He's the only one that knows whether we're really living up to our abilities. And if we are, we'll be rewarded because of that. But now let's look at these two servants who didn't do anything. They both had an excuse. In the parable of the pounds, here the servant said, well, you know, the reason I didn't serve is because in verse 21, he says, you are an austere man. You know, you take up where you don't lay down, and you reap what you don't sow. And in the next parable, he has a very similar excuse in verse 26. You read there about him. Well, I'm verse 24. I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid of you. He blames the Lord. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine this man who had a 1,000% return? What do you think his opinion of the Lord was? His opinion was, oh, I don't deserve this. I just used what he gave me. I just used the opportunities, and look what's happened. The man with the abilities, the one who uses abilities, he would say the same thing. But these two servants, they both blame the Lord. And they said, the reason I couldn't serve, the reason I couldn't do a good job is because of you. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever expressed that in your heart? Only we don't take it quite that far. Here's how we do it. We are more tactful. We say, well, you know, I could really serve you, Lord. I could really be a dynamo if it weren't for the elders. You know, this brother or this sister is the one that really keeps me from really serving and being what you want me to be. See, we don't take it all the way and blame the Lord. But you know what? Who put us where we're at? Who chose the vineyard that we're involved in? Who moved my family to Reedsville? Who put you here in this local assembly? Who provided you the opportunities to serve him? Who gave you the ability to serve him? Who put us in the families? And you could go on and on. It's the Lord, isn't it? And so really, if we're not careful, we can expend all of our energies and our thoughts blaming someone else when really it's the Lord that we're really blaming, isn't it? And it didn't do these two servants any good at all. He judged them both. One servant, we don't read much about what happened, but the second servant in the parable of the talents, we see that he really wasn't a servant at all. He just said he was a servant, and the Lord judges him and calls him a wicked and a slothful servant. And the same thing happens to him. Look in verse 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. If we don't use our abilities, what happens? Well, they're taken away, aren't they? And we know that's what happens if you experienced an illness where you have been bedridden for a period of time. What is it that they have to do? You'll have to have a doctor or a nurse to come in and give you therapy to get you back in shape so you can do that. If you don't use it, what's the expression? You lose it. And that's exactly what we see in these two parables, isn't it? If you don't use the opportunities, what happens? The Lord will give it to someone else. If you don't use your ability, what does the Lord do? He will give those opportunities and those abilities to someone else, and they receive the blessing because of it. So he's dealt with two tremendous areas here, hadn't he? He's dealt with, do you use your opportunities? Do you use your abilities? Now look at the third one. This is tremendous. Let me give you the setting for this parable. A rich young ruler has come to the Lord in this particular situation in Matthew chapter 19. And this rich young ruler has asked the Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And, of course, the Lord just cut right to the chase, and he said, go sell all you've got and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And you'll... And he turns, and what does he do? He says he went away sad because he had great possessions. And then the Lord takes this opportunity, like I was saying this morning, wisdom crying out in the street. And so he gives the parable then of the camel and the needle. And he tells the disciples, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And then here's what sets the stage for this parable. Peter is looking at the situation, and he sees this man who turned and went away. And Peter asked this question. He said, Lord, we have forsaken all. We have given up our families. We have given up everything for you. What are we going to get? And the Lord uses this parable to correct Peter's attitude, because Peter's got the wrong attitude in serving the Lord. Now, look at the parable. It is tremendous the way the Lord sets this up to show the attitude of these servants. And I think it's interesting also in Matthew, if you begin this parable in verse 30, you have, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. And the parable concludes by saying, so the last shall be first, and the first last. It's sandwiched between these two statements. Now, let's look at the parable, and then we'll deal with that statement. He goes and he says in verse 1 of chapter 20, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had, here's the key that unlocks the parable, agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Now look at the difference between this servant. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5. He did the same thing the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour. He goes out. And he makes this statement to them, go into my vineyard and work, and I will give you what is right. Do you see the difference between the two? This first group that was hired first, they haggled, if you will. They bargained over what their reward was going to be. I'll work for you today for one denarius, or one penny, or whatever your translation might say. They haggled over the price. Now, the Lord is using this parable to show Peter, you got the wrong attitude. And look at how he does it. He goes on, and again, he does the same thing in verse 7. But look at the end of the day. He calls all these laborers in, and he starts from the last and goes to the first. It says, and when they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now you can imagine, he starts off with paying these servants. The guy that started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and worked 1 hour, what do you think he had to say when he went home to his wife? He probably went home and said, I have met the most incredible man today. He gave me a full day's wages for 1 hour's work. He wasn't complaining. He was happy. The guy that started at 3 o'clock probably did the same thing. He was excited. He'd been given a full day's wages for working just a couple of hours. And he goes all the way back. Now, these servants who had bargained with the Lord for what they would get out of it says in verse 11 that they began to murmur at the goodman of the house. And you see, they looked at this and they saw this first servant, this last servant who had only worked an hour, he got a penny or a denarius. And they're thinking, man, if he got a day's wages for 1 hour, just think what we're going to get. And probably after the second servant and the third servant come and they all get the same thing, they probably say to themselves, this is a bad trend. I don't like the way things are going here. This is not fair. And that's exactly what they say. They murmured against the goodman of the house. Now, what were these guys doing? Because they had haggled with the Lord, because they had bargained with the Lord as to what they would get out of it, what did they start doing? They start comparing themselves, didn't they? Now, don't we do that? Don't we have a tendency to compare ourselves among ourselves? And of course, Corinthians tells us we're not wise if we do that. But these guys started looking at the other servants, and because they had received this, they became angry, they became upset, and who did they blame? They blamed the Lord. Look at what it says here as you go on down. Look in verse 15. Well, let me just deal with the other verses first. They're murmuring, they're complaining against him. In verse 13, he says, friends, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours, go your way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. And listen to what he says. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good? The first or the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Isn't that what happened in this story? It was flipped, wasn't it? The ones who thought that they should receive the most, they really came in last, didn't they? And the ones who responded and said, Lord, I will let you give me what you want, they were blessed and they were happy. Now, he uses this multiple number of servants just to set the story to reveal the attitudes. And, you know, I think that we, as servants of the Lord, have one of those attitudes. What the Lord wants us to do is to just look at him and say, Lord, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll leave a reward up to you. I trust you. I trust the God of the earth to do right. You're going to do what's right. And I know that someday when you give me this reward, I'll be happy. But, you know, when we play let's make a deal with the Lord, we're always disappointed, aren't we? You know, I tell young men and women, and I've experienced this in my own life, we all need in our lives two things. We need a good failure. Now, I'm not saying we need a moral failure. We need something really bad like that in our life. But we need experiences in our life where we, as it were, have got egg all over our face. We're embarrassed that we did something stupid. We said something wrong. What does that do for us? How does that help us in our life as a servant? Well, here's how it helps us. It takes away the pride. That's what it does. It takes away the pride. And you know, isn't it so easy that when we've never had a failure, it's so easy to tell other people what they ought to be doing. And it's so easy to be judgmental on other people. But you see, Peter was the same way, wasn't he? That's what happened to Peter. You remember, Lord, even though all these other guys, even though they desert you, I'll not. I'm willing to go to death with you. What happened? Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he? Sift Peter, didn't he? And what happened to Peter? When Peter was restored to the Lord, look what happened on the day of Pentecost. Tremendous blessing. And when we read the epistles of Peter, it's like we're reading the story of a different man's life, isn't it? That failure was good for Peter. Peter needed that failure because it humbled him. And it showed him, it took away the pride in his life. But what's the second good thing that we need? We need a good failure. We need a good disappointment too. Because what happened to the disciples when the Lord was arrested that night and they all fled? They were so disappointed. They were so heartbroken. You know, we thought we were going to come to Jerusalem and the kingdom was going to be set up and we were going to be big shots in the kingdom. They were so disappointed. They were so disillusioned. And isn't that what happened to us in our lives when some goal is not met? When we want something done a certain way and we think someone is hindering us from meeting that goal? Well, we need that in our lives. Because here's what it does. It shows us who we're really serving. Are we serving the Lord? Or are we serving ourselves? Many times we're serving ourselves, aren't we? You know, when someone says something to us, says an unkind word about our ministry or whatever it is that we're doing, or unkind words to us, what happens? The tendency that we see it all over the world, people become discouraged and they give up and they quit because someone said something. Who were they really serving? Were they really serving the Lord? No, I think they were serving more or less themselves, and they had their own interests at heart. And that's what the Lord was showing Peter. Peter, your attitude is wrong. You need to trust me to give you exactly what you need, and I will reward you. I know that you have forsaken all and followed me. Peter, if you'll trust me, you'll never be disappointed when I pass out the rewards. Now think about this. What three areas of your life, if you were going to judge servants, what three areas would you choose? Would you not choose these three areas? Did you use the opportunities when I was gone? And you know, that's what really measures our servanthood, isn't it? Do we serve when people are not looking, or when the Lord's, we think that he's not looking, but he's looking all the time? Do we live up to our abilities? And what's our attitude? What's our attitude in serving? Why are we serving? The Lord deals with all three of them. And isn't it so great? Now, I'm not going to take, well, I've got 3 minutes. I think I will take it, if you don't mind. In this last passage over here, the Lord talks about in a coming day that there will be a judgment. The Lord will reveal every man according to his works. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, that verse, the last one on the right-hand side. Listen to what it says. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts, and then each one's praise will come from the Lord. Who could judge whether or not we use the opportunities that the Lord has given us except the Lord? You know, it's just like Joseph, isn't it? When Joseph interprets that dream, Pharaoh's response was, well, who in my kingdom is wise enough to implement such a plan that you've revealed? And he said, well, Joseph, you're the only one. You were smart enough to interpret the dream. You're the only one capable of fulfilling it and bringing it to pass. The Lord is the one that gave these parables, isn't he? He's the only one who can look down in our hearts and tell whether or not we really used the opportunities we've been given, whether we really lived up to our ability, and what our attitude was. And in a coming day, he says, each one's praise will come from God.